Penguin Random House Audio presents Hot Little Hands by Abigail Ullman. Read for you by Gemma Whalen.
Chagall's Wife. I had never before bumped into a teacher on the weekend, but there he was, sitting at the counter in the window, and I slowed down to take it all in. The face that looked more relaxed than it usually did, the late breakfast in front of him, the hardcover book in his hand with the library tag on its spine. Through the glass, I saw him slide something off his fork with his mouth. I felt his eyes land on me the second I took mine off him. I drew in a breath and went inside. I took a seat next to the wall and sipped my juice through a straw, flipping through every page of a magazine without taking my eyes off his back. Dressed down for the weekend, he was wearing a pair of faded black jeans and a khaki jacket. His dark hair, usually as carefully arranged as his desk, was ruffled on one side, as though he hadn't even checked it before heading out that morning. When the waitress came to collect his plate, I saw her brush her arm against his as she reached over him. He looked up and smiled, and said something before going back to his book. Under the fluorescent lights in the toilets, I rubbed some gloss into my lips. I yanked my hair out of its ponytail, ran my fingers through it, and arranged it over my shoulders. It was dirty blonde, and dirty. I tied it back up. My jeans were good and new and tight, but the grey hoodie that showed a stripe of stomach kept going from daggy to cute and back again. I narrowed my eyes at my reflection. "Whatever you do," I told myself, "don't mention tampons." "Mr. Ackerman."
"Sasha. Hello."
"I saw you earlier when I walked in."
"Ah, yes.
You saw me too. Why didn't you say hi?"
"I don't know. I suppose I thought you might have better things to do on a Saturday than chat to your daggy old science teacher."
"You're not daggy." I lap danced my eyes over his weekend stubble, the grey T-shirt, his right hand, which was tugging at the leather band of his wristwatch. "What are you drinking?"
"It's an affogato."
"What, like the vegetable?"
"No, it's a coffee drink. Kind of like a spider for grown-ups."
"I see." I leaned one hand on my hip and sucked my bottom lip under the top one until it disappeared. Mr. Ackerman looked down to the floor, where one of my sneakers was standing firmly on top of the other. Then he looked around the cafe, at the other people sitting there, reading newspapers or quietly chatting, and back at me.
"Would you like to try one?"
I perched on a stool next to his and leaned my elbows in front of me. We kept our eyes on the street. It was early afternoon in the middle of autumn, and the sun was bright but stingy with its warmth. A woman walked past, pushing an empty pram. She was talking on her mobile phone. Our silence was long and expectant, like the minutes between the snooze button and the return of the alarm.
"So," I spat out, "sorry about the tampons." "Oh, don't worry about that," he said. "You've done your time."
Every year since year 7, a nurse had come to science class to talk about periods and menstruation. We were never warned beforehand. It was always just sprung on us at the beginning of the lesson. They'd schedule it for the first term, so the weather was still warm enough for the boys to go play sport with Mr. Ackerman on the oval, while the girls were forced to sit again through the same embarrassing question time, the same video with the same girls wearing 80s hairstyles and fashion, back when it was really the 80s and before it was cool again. This year, when the boys returned after the talk, Sam Geary and Sam Stewart had snatched the box of complimentary Tampax off my desk. I was too embarrassed to ask for it back. While Mr. Ackerman was out saying goodbye to the period lady, the boys had unwrapped the tampons, wet them under the tap, and thrown them up at the ceiling, where they'd stuck, the strings hanging down above us for the rest of the lesson like the stalactites we'd learnt about the year before. Later that afternoon, the tampons had dried up and started dropping one by one onto the floor and the heads and desks of Mr. Ackerman and his Year 8 students. I wished I could have seen it. We were halfway through English class, and the boys were excused and the girls told to produce their tampon boxes right there and then. Of course, I was the only one who didn't have mine, so I got sent to Mr. Ackerman's office, where I stood in front of him and told him with a straight face that I'd got my period that day and had used them all up already.
"All of them?" he'd asked. two at a time, I'd said. Unfortunately for me, Miss Nesbit, the swimming teacher, had been keeping track of our cycles, so we couldn't use the same excuse every week. When consulted, she had divulged that I wasn't due for another fortnight. I wasn't about to dob on the SAMs, so I'd sat through detention every Thursday afternoon for a month. When my drink came, I started eating the ice cream out of it with a teaspoon. Mr. Ackerman told me in his class voice to stir it in so it would sweeten the coffee. I left it to melt and reached for the sunglasses sitting next to his book and keys. "Are these yours?" I asked, putting them on. They were too big for me. The arms reached way beyond my ears, and I had to press the lenses to my face with my fingers to stop them falling off. The world looked blue from beneath those glasses, like science fiction. "They're so blingy." "I don't know about that." He smiled for the first time, his face stubbly, and blue now, too. "I've had those since I was at university. They're almost as old as you are." I kept them on while I tasted my coffee. It was bitter and strong, and it made me cough so hard my throat stung. I pushed it aside. By the time we stood up to go, the ice cream had floated to the top and was sitting on the surface, solidifying. Mr. Ackerman was shoving his wallet into his pocket when he came outside to where I waited on the curb. "Well, thanks for the company." "Thanks for the coffee." I took a step closer. He looked away from me to the traffic in the street. I didn't expect to see anyone I know hanging out on this side of town. He looked down at me with a small smile. I live on this side of town." "Oh, really? With your wife?" "No, with my parents. I'm just here temporarily. On Charles Street." "Is that where you're going now, then, to your mum and dad's?" "No, actually, I was planning to go over to the NG..." "I could come," I cut in, lowering my voice, my eyes still on his. "I've got nowhere else to be." On the tram, I sat down while he went to buy himself a ticket. When he came back, he stood across the aisle from me and tilted his head to look out the opposite window. I looked too. "Think it'll rain?" I asked, without caring, and he shook his head. "Nah," he said. At a tram shelter outside, a few girls were laughing and backing away from another girl, who was sitting on the bench, pulling off her jumper. She was red-faced and laughing too. A bird probably shat on her, I thought. "Where are your friends today?" Mr. Ackerman looked over at me. Amy's at drama lessons, Nat's babysitting, Courtney's at home, she's still got glandula. "And your family? How come you're out by yourself?" "My parents are in Portsea. We've got a place down there." "Ah, yes," he said, as though he'd known that already. He had his sunglasses on now, so I couldn't see his eyes. More than half the seats around me were empty, but he stood the whole way there, his arm reaching above his head past the swaying handles to hold on to the rail. The security guard and I played the game. He pretended not to be checking me out, while I pretended not to notice. My teacher went to the cloakroom, and I stopped at the first picture and checked my reflection in the gold frame. Why, I wondered, couldn't I have just drunk the stupid coffee? A monogamist. Mr. Ackerman had come up behind me. Sorry? Chagall. He loved his wife very much. He leaned in close to the painting. "That's her up there, see? She's flying. And there he is, on the ground below, waiting for her to come down, hoping to catch her. He put her in all his work." He walked on to look at the next one, and I watched him go. For a science teacher, he seemed to know a lot about art. I, on the other hand, didn't feel like learning schoolish things on the weekend. I dragged myself from painting to painting, ignoring the essay-long inscription next to each one, staring at the colours till they blurred before my eyes. I made ink-blot tests of them all. Instead of a table full of angels, I saw a close-up of a mouth with teeth falling out. I turned a juggling bird into a woman belly-dancing. A bunch of doves in a tree became soggy tampons just hanging there. But it was true what Mr. Ackerman had said about the guy's wife. She was all over the place. First she lay draped naked over a tree of roses. Then she was dressed as a bride with a long veil, holding a baby in her arms. And later...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?